If you have a Bible, let's all stand. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It's good to see you this morning. I see so many faces. I'd like to say something about you, but I don't have the time this morning. We're going to talk about the love of God this morning. The reason he's wonderful is because he loves us. If we love him today, it's because he first loved us. All that we do and all that we are should spring from our love for him responding simply because he loves us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Romans chapter 5, very familiar passage. We'll begin reading verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 11. I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Aren't you glad we have peace with God this morning? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I was thinking about Albert back there. Of course, Nazareth just recently had open heart surgery. I mentioned a little bit about it Thursday. I was so impressed as we visited the hospital room and just saw how they were dealing with this tribulation, this trial in their life. And I was blessed, Albert. Thank you. I was blessed as I walked out that hospital room. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Notice these next few words. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, you ought to circle that word ungodly. That's important for us to remember. Christ died for the ungodly. The word ungodly, there's a Greek word. It means for the vile and extremely wicked. Whatever or whoever you think is the most vile and wicked man in the history of the world, Christ died for him. I don't know what you think about Adolf Hitler, but I know this. God loved him. And Christ died for him. I don't know this morning what you think of Pol Pot, but I know one thing this morning, that God loved him and Christ died for him. Now, I don't know what you think of the prostitutes and the pimps and the gangbangers and the drug dealers, but I know this morning, God loves them and Christ died for them. I don't know what you think this morning. Pretty much know what you think this morning about a child molester. We've heard a lot in the news in recent days about that. And to be honest with you, that irks us. But God loves him. And Christ died for him. Verse number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. That basically is saying this. All of us in here this morning, there are some folks that we would be willing to die for. Most of us, hopefully, would be willing to die for our spouse. Somebody say amen. Some of us may die at the hand of our spouse, but that's a whole nother sermon for another day. I would think most of us as parents, we'd be willing to die for our children. And there may be a handful of folks that we consider close enough we'd be willing to die for. But notice what it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, notice in verse number 8, but God commendeth. The word commendeth means demonstrated or exhibited his love toward us. Notice, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, can I get to say enemies? Enemies? Now some will die for a righteous man. Some of us will die for our spouse, we'll die for our children. But Christ died for us when we were his enemies. You say, oh, no, you know, Brother Johnny, I was a good person. I went to church. Before you were saved, you were an enemy of God. It doesn't matter how moral you were. We were all born enemies of God. But I have some good news for you. God loved us and Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look back in verse number 8, and then we'll have a word of prayer and I'll let you be seated. But God commendeth or demonstrated or exhibited or revealed for all to see his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, but we only love you because you first loved us. Father, all that we have and all that we are this morning is by your grace, your goodness, and your love. Father, many of the problems that we have in our life can be traced back to the fact that we don't understand and recognize how deeply you love us. And I pray, Lord, this morning, there's no way we can do justice, but I pray this morning, Lord, in the few moments that we have, we would be reminded once again of really the greatest truth in all of the Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever asked yourself these questions? Why is it such a small, you might want to turn that down, fellas, you give me a headache. Amen. Why is such a small percentage of us who claim to be followers of Jesus are really following Jesus? Why so few people really are attracted to what we have or at least what we claim to possess? If you ever ask yourself this question, why don't I seem to be experiencing the joy that our spiritual forefathers in the New Testament experienced? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it that my commitment level for the cause of Christ seems to be in a continual flux? And I think we could all testify to that. Why is it that so many good people drift away and eventually disappear from our ranks? Why is it that so many of our churches, our communities, and our country seem to be getting darker and darker? While it's said of our spiritual forefathers, they turned their world upside down. And I suppose there are many answers, but this morning I'd like to pinpoint and just take a few moments to focus on one. I think this morning, I know in my life and possibly not yours, I think this morning we tend to forget how much he loves us. You know, if you've been saved for a while, I've been saved now 35 years, and if you've been saved for a while, it's real easy. It's like a marriage. When you first started that marital relationship, you first started dating, courting, went through the engagement process, you first got married, there was a lot of excitement, there was a lot of bliss. But you know, after a while, after you've been married, I've been married 30 years, after a while, you sort of take it for granted. This morning, I just want to remind you of something, that God loves you. Jesus loves you, and he wants to have a loving relationship with you and with me this morning. Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. And then he concludes with these words, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know how God wants to draw you to himself? By his love. I wonder this morning if there's someone who's struggling to know just how much God loves you. I know this. If you grew up in a dysfunctional, what we call a dysfunctional home, I grew up in a home, my father and I did not have a good relationship whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we were at great odds with one another until I got saved at the age of 21. The truth of the matter is, my father and I, our relationship was extremely strained, and to be honest with you, In many ways, I hated my father until I got saved. And because of that, and many of you would be in that boat, I suppose, this morning, because of that, at many times, I would seek out. That's why I got involved with the wrong crowd and the gangs. I was looking for affirmation. I was looking for a father's love. And by the way, that's why some young ladies get themselves in trouble. By the way, father, the best thing you could do for your daughters is to love them passionately. Somebody say amen. Because sometimes our young girls, our teenage girls, what they do is they look for love in all the wrong places. But you know, a lot of times as Christians, that's what happens. We begin to look for love in all the wrong places. And I can remember as a young teenager, my mother and father, they got divorced. I can remember I was just craving the love of a father. There may be some of you this morning that you never had that love from a human father. Can I remind you of something? Whether you got it from a human father or not, you do have a Heavenly Father who loves you. I don't recommend you watch movies, but years ago, some of you would be familiar with it. There was I forget what it's called now, the baseball one. They build a diamond. You build it, they will come. What's it called? Field of Dreams. I just wanted to get everybody who needs to hit the altar first. Now, I remember years ago, we had the video Field of Dreams. Many, many years ago, we had the video Field of Dreams. And if you've ever watched it, it's really a man's story about he didn't get along with his father. And it just ends up where he ends up playing catch with his father. And I remember the two or three times that I watched that video. As soon as it got to the place where the father and the son were playing catch, I would have to leave the room and I would go bawling like a baby. Because that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. But I didn't have that much as a child. And I'm going to guess that this morning there are many of us who we also, I can remember as a teenager that I was involved, of course, with drugs and that type. But many times I could remember sitting there and I would literally be hallucinating about having a good family, a father and a mother who loved one another. Sort of the white picket fence, what we would call, you know, just the dream. And I can remember I longed for that. Some of us this morning, we came from those type of homes. And we never had the love of a father. But I want to say something this morning. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you. And He wants to embrace you. And He wants you to embrace Him. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us." In John 15, 13, and 14, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life for us. You say, well, Brother Johnny, what is the thrust of the message? What is really the theme of the message this morning? Can I just say something this morning? Everything that we do and all that we become really should flow from the understanding that God loves us. The great three-in-one loves us this morning. God the Father loves us so much, He was willing to send His Son to pay for our sins. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves us so much that He laid down His life. No one took His life. He laid it down for us. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, loves us so much that He has and He continues to draw us to Christ, change our hearts, and He changed our lives. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you understand that God loves you? God loves you. And because He loves you, He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. See, a lot of times, if we're not careful, and I have struggled with this so much in my own personal life, a lot of times, if we're not careful, what we end up doing, we do stuff, good stuff, but it's not responding to his love. And can I tell you something? Eventually, that becomes a drudgery. This morning, nothing will revolutionize. If you're a Sunday school teacher this morning, nothing will revolutionize your Sunday school class like this. God loves me. If this morning you're a bus captain or a bus worker, or you work in junior church or maybe the teen church, nothing will revolutionize your different ministries for the Lord than to recognize that God loves me and you're doing it because he loves you. I don't know about you. I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved 35 years. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I did stuff out of a sense of duty. By the way, I'd rather do it out of a sense of duty than not do it at all. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about doing it out of a sense of delight. Because he loves me. He loves me. If you don't know the Lord this morning, nothing will draw you to him like his love. I wonder this morning if there's somebody in this auditorium, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you died today, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Can I tell you something? The greatest drawing power, the magnetic force that will draw you to God is that you understand that God loves you. But I'm sure this morning most of us here are saved. If you're saved this morning, but you don't have a close relationship with him, nothing will encourage you to spend more time with him than to recognize that he loves you. Can I say something? We get up and we holler. I asked Brother Cody. I sat in Brother Ezekiel's Sunday school class. Actually, Brother Meyer's Sunday school class. Brother Ezekiel Bonilla was teaching today. And I heard somebody hollering out there. I said, man, somebody's got a toothache. What's going on? Somebody. I said, man, who is out there preaching? Actually, I thought it was Crystal, but it wasn't Crystal. But I said, brother, did you have a toothache? Did you have an earache? What was the problem? Can I tell you something? A lot of times we as preachers, we get up and preach and we scream and we shout to try to get folks to do what they ought to do. The truth of the matter is, we could scream and shout all we want. We're really not going to respond until we recognize he loves us. You know, the greatest motivation to go to the mission field is not statistics. You know, the greatest motivation to go to the mission field is not, you know, pictures of starving children. You know, the truth of the matter is this. I was at a church recently, and I do a PowerPoint thing as well as the DVD presentation, and I've had a couple pastors, assistant pastors, said, if I get called to the mission field, I'm going to do the PowerPoint thing. That's very, very effective. Can I just tell you something? Youth conferences, missions conferences, statistics and pictures and all that, you know what those things do? They draw us emotionally for a season. Hello? But can I tell you something? The love of Christ, the Bible says, constrains us. Whatever it is you're struggling with this morning, you may be struggling with a besetting sin. You may be struggling with reading your Bible. You may be struggling with your prayer life. Whatever it is, we all have struggles. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you the greatest motivating force to help you and to help me with whatever we struggle with today is to recognize that he loves me. You know, we get up, we have stewardship month. And man, we read all the quotes and give all the statistics and read all the verses. Also, can I tell you the greatest motivating force to get somebody to give is to help them to understand that God loves them. How many of you are married today? Say amen. Anybody married today? How many of you wish you were married? Say amen. My daughter, $8. Remember, I told you Thursday night, $8. How many of you wish you weren't? No, we won't go there. Look, can I tell you something? When you love someone, you give. And you give, and you give. You know, my office when I'm in town is Starbucks. That's where I hang out. I've got no desk. I've got nothing. As a matter of fact, we got no furniture, nothing. We're sitting in an empty apartment. So in the morning, usually about 5:30 in the morning, I'll hit Starbucks, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll hit Starbucks, and I'll plug my laptop in. I've seen some of the guys skipping work. Brother Nate, I saw him there. I saw a couple guys there. Brother Ray Pichardo, I caught them all there one time. I think the electricity was out. But you know what I'll do before I leave Starbucks? I'll be there for a couple hours. It's my office. I'll send a text to my wife, and if Joy's at the house, I'll send a text. Would you like me to get you something on the way? This morning, Joy had me get her a chai latte, Togo, something. I have no idea what it was. You say, why? Because I love them. I love them. And they love me. This morning, I just want to remind you that God loves you. God's love for us is powerful. The Bible says he commended or demonstrated love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm reminded, I think I've shared this story here before, I'm reminded years ago during the time of our apartheid in South Africa, right afterwards, I should say, what started happening, if you're familiar with what took place in South Africa, what took place is many of the whites were extremely racist, and they suppressed the blacks, who were the nationals. That was their country. When it was over, they started arresting some of the men who were like in the military, the police department, who had abused their power. One of the men, if I remember correctly, was a lieutenant or a captain in the South African police force. This man was guilty of many, many crimes. As a matter of fact, this man at one time took a 19-year-old African, South African boy, and in front of his mother, tied him to the ground and doused him with gasoline. And struck a match and burned to death in front of his mother. A year or two later, this was all when the whites were in control. A year or two later, the same captain and the same patrol came back to the South African woman's house and grabbed her husband. And took him out and tied him to the ground and doused him with gasoline. And struck a match and burned him to death right in front of the woman. I think by this time the woman was blind, if I remember correctly. Eventually, when the change of government took place, they captured this captain and many others. They brought him to court. Eventually in the courtroom, the word guilty was heard. They were getting ready to sentence the police captain. All the time, the blind mother and wife of the husband and the son who were burned alive, was in the courtroom. They looked at the woman and they said, before we pass sentence, would you like to have a word with the captain? She said, I would. I have two things I'd like to say. The courtroom got silent. Everybody waited to hear what this woman, whose 19-year-old son and husband were burned to death, what she was going to say to the man who was guilty. She said, I think his name was Vanderkirk or something. Yes, Captain Vanderkirk, there are two things I'd like to say. She said, first of all, I'd like to say, I forgive you. Like Christ forgave me, I forgive you. Now, I don't know about you. That's tough stuff. Somebody say amen. But what she said next shocked everybody. She then said, Captain Vanderkirk, I no longer have any family members. Of course not. The captain killed her husband, killed her son. She said, Captain Vanderkirk, if you don't mind, because I no longer have any family, I would like to adopt you as a son so that I can love you. Now, how many of you would admit today that's pretty heavy? May I say something? That's what God did for us. That's what God did for us. Let me give you real quickly three real practical thoughts about God's love. His everlasting love should inspire us, number one, to love him. This morning, because God loves us, we need to love him. He needs to be the passion of our life. And by the way, we all fall short of that. Just like if you're married this morning, you fall short of being the kind of spouse you ought to be. We all fall short to be the lover of God that we ought to be. But can I say something this morning? Because he loves us. Christ died for us. He's adopted us into his family, even though we were enemies. That ought to motivate us. That ought to inspire us this morning to love him. The truth of the matter is this. More often than not, if we don't love him, it's usually a sign that we don't recognize that he loves us or how much he loves us. His everlasting love should inspire us this morning to love him. And if we're going to love him, that's not the message this morning. If we're going to love him, we're going to read his word. Those of us who dated and we're married, and you've heard me tell the stories before. Man, my wife used to write me love letters. She doesn't anymore. Somebody say amen. She used to write me love letters. Now Cornelius, he writes a love letter to his wife every day. Shame on him. Amen. But my wife used to write me love letters and cards, and I remember by the way, she still does. It's just not quite as frequent. But anyway, I could remember when I would get those love letters or cards, man, I would read them, and man, I would be checking the Greek and the Hebrew. Somebody say amen. It would say, Dear Johnny, I'd say, what does that mean? What do you mean, what does that mean? And I'd be reading it, and I'd read it over and over again. Not too long ago, as my wife and I were clearing out all of our stuff, emptying everything out, man, we found a box full of letters that we wrote each other when we were in Bible college. That's a long time ago. And I think it was on our anniversary. On our anniversary, we just sat there and we just read the letters and the cards that we wrote to one another. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you. When I used to get those cards and those letters, if it was in an envelope, I opened it quick. I used to pull this one on my wife. I'd give her a card and say, you can't open it for 48 hours. That always made her mad, amen? But I wanted to open it soon. You know, if my wife would have given me a card or an envelope with a note in it, and she handed it to me, and she saw it sitting on the desk or the dresser 2 or 3 days later, not open, somebody say amen. I'm going to have a, she'd probably be questioning if I love her. Oh, but we've got a love letter right here. We have a love letter. If we love him, we ought to read this. By the way, the more we read it, the more we'll love him. It'll inspire us to love him. Number two, you know what it'll inspire us to do? If we recognize how much God loves us, it'll help us to love each other. Somebody say amen. How many of you would be honest? Now, I'm not looking. How many of you be honest? Sometimes somebody who attends this church irritates you. Just once in a while, not too often. Occasionally. Paula Child just raised her hand and pointed at her husband. Amen. Of course. Can I tell you something? Listen, God loves us, and in his, because of his love, he demonstrated, he exhibited it towards us, and while we were yet sinners, listen, if God can love me for all that I have done against him, not just before I was saved, hello? Since I've been saved. You know, pastor's little thing, he says, if everybody knew everything about everybody, none of us would like each other. But can I have some news for you. God does know, and he doesn't just like us, he loves us. That's good news. Well, you know what? That should inspire me to love you in spite of what you do that irritates me. Now, I know I don't irritate any of you, but you irritate me. Amen? Can I say something? None of us have done to any of us what we have done to him. Somebody say amen. If God can forgive me for all that I've done, I'm not even talking about before I'm saved. We'll just say that's under the blood. I'm talking about since I've been saved. If God could still love me and still claim me as his own, can I say something? I ought to be able to love you and claim you regardless. And by the way, you ought to love me and claim me. Somebody say amen. God's love ought to inspire us to love him. God's love ought to inspire us to love each other. And last but not least, just about done, God's love, his everlasting love, should inspire us to love him, love one another, should inspire us to love the lost. There's a lot of folks outside these doors, they don't think like us. They don't talk like us, they don't look like us, but can I just tell you, remind you of something? God loves them just as much as he loves us. You know, America's getting, it's a mess. I mean, you see some things, it's like, oh my soul, brother. I mean, we're like becoming barbarians. Hello? Can I remind you of something? Just like God loves you and God loves me, God loves them. God loves the prostitute on Anaheim and Pine. God loves the pimp who's abusing the prostitute on Anaheim and Pine. God loves the drug dealer. God, you name whatever it is that irks you. And by the way, God loves the homosexual. You name it. Whatever. By the way, there's certain things that irk all of us. Hello? God loves them all. And if God could love me, I'd be able to love him. And if God could love me, I'd be able to love you. And if God could love me, I ought to be able to love them. I think I've shared this story. I don't remember. Many years ago, a preacher was in town. I think it was Hawaii, if I remember correctly. He was in town, and a conference was just over, and they They went out to a diner to stop and get a cup of coffee or maybe something to eat. I don't remember all the details. And it was a couple preachers, and they sat down, and they were grabbing something to eat. And all of a sudden, a couple prostitutes walked in. As the prostitutes walked in, they were loud. They were boisterous. And the preachers were having their conversation, and the preacher overheard two or three of the prostitutes making fun of one of the prostitutes. I'll call her Sue. Everybody, Susie. Oh, Susie, tomorrow's your birthday. Do you want us to sing happy birthday to you? And Susie, the other prostitute, starts, oh, come on, quit that. Nobody has ever sung happy birthday to me. The one preacher was sitting there, and he heard those words, and he realized that this was a broken woman. Who had never experienced what real love was. By the way, that's why she was doing what she was doing. The ladies, the prostitutes, kept mocking and making fun of her, and eventually they walked out, and the preacher asked the guy who owned the diner. He said, let me ask you a question. Do those girls come in here every day, every night? He said, every night, same time. And the preacher said something. He said, would it be okay if I threw a birthday party for that lady tomorrow? The guy said, yeah, I guess. The next night, hour or two before the prostitutes normally came in, this preacher and his friends came in, and they sort of decorated the place a little bit, and I think they got a cake, and I know they got a cake, and I forget the girl's name, I'll just say Susie. They put the girl, happy birthday Susie, on the cake. And when the prostitutes walked in, immediately they started singing, happy birthday to you. The prostitute looked. Her friends looked. If I remember correctly, she was like 35 years old. She had never had anybody sing happy birthday to her. She had never had anybody love her enough to give her a gift. They had a birthday party. She blew out the candles. They were getting ready, if I remember correctly, they were getting ready to cut the cake. And the girl whose birthday it was, she said, oh, please don't. Can I just take the cake home? Can I just take the cake home? After the girls left, the diner came to the preacher. He said, man, that was amazing. He said, man, what kind of work do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. The diner, who was a lost man, said, what kind of pastor throws a birthday party for a prostitute? I don't remember his exact words, but it was something to this effect. The kind that knows what Jesus would do. God loves us. Christ died for us. In that while we were yet sinners. And because of that, this morning we can love him. Let's be grateful and thankful. And because of that, this morning, we can love one another. Maybe this morning, you're bitter at somebody here. in your church family. Wouldn't today be a good day to get that thing right? Because God loves us, we can love Him, we can love one another. Oh, and we can love not in word, but we can love in deed those who don't know Christ. Let's stand, let's pray.